This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, June 17th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. North Coast Vineyard order adopted. Former budget chair moves to Energy Commission. And Senate GOP lays out tax breaks. North Coast Water Board approves vineyard order. The North Coast Regional Water Control Board has approved a regulation targeting commercial vineyards across roughly 65,000 acres in Sonoma, Mendocino, and adjacent counties. Dubbed the General Waste Discharge Requirements for Commercial Vineyards, the order obligates vineyard owners and operators to implement best management practices aimed at curbing sediment, nutrient, and pesticide runoff into rivers, creeks, and groundwater. The regulation specifically addresses erosion control during storm events aimed to protect water quality and aquatic habitats. Compliance will be phased in starting July 2028, giving vineyard managers time to adapt the monitoring and reporting requirements. Agriculture reacts. Opposing the order, the Wine Institute of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers stressed a 24% drop in grape crush volumes and the loss of Canada's billion-dollar export market. Noel Kremers, who directs regulatory and environmental affairs at the Institute, warned the sediment control plants could cost up to $25,000 per vineyard with mandatory recertification every 5 years. They call for extending the timelines and adding more flexible compliance options, particularly for the 90% ground cover requirement by December, which they called unrealistic given North Coast growing conditions. In response, the board approved an extended enrollment deadline through July 2029. But Community Alliance with Family Farmers praised the phased implementation approach, saying it helps small farms manage cost over time. Take note, according to UC Cooperative Extension Advisors, 77% of the vineyards already maintain sustainability certifications. Senate confirms Nancy Skinner as Energy Commissioner. The legislature has unanimously confirmed Governor Gavin Newsom's appointment of former Senator Nancy Skinner of Berkeley to serve on the California Energy Commission. In the Senate, Skinner backed measures encouraging carbon sequestration on farms. In 2022, she said healthier soils enriched through cover crops and compost produce far more yield, underscoring carbon capture's dual benefit for farmers and climate. Earlier, she pushed to integrate agriculture into California's cap and trade market via sequestration targets. Through AB 2514 last year, Skinner laid the groundwork for California's large-scale battery storage efforts. With SBX12, she sought to bolster transparency and oversight to combat gas price gouging. In a Senate Rules Committee hearing last month, Skinner defended her energy policy record. Republicans argued her legislation has increased energy costs and devastated California's oil industry in the Central Valley. Skinner acknowledged the affordability challenges, but emphasized her commitment to a careful transition to zero-emission vehicles and renewable energy. She stressed the importance of maximizing energy efficiency to reduce overall system costs. Senate GOP tax package out. The Senate Finance Committee has set the stage for negotiations with the House over the tax provisions in the big beautiful bill that Republicans are trying to get to the White House this summer. There are few notable differences between the Senate committee's tax package and the bill that was passed by the House. One of importance to farmers is that Section 199A deduction for qualified business income would become permanent but remain at 20%. The House bill would raise that deduction to 23%. Both bills would increase and make permanent the estate tax exemptions and boost business expensing allowances. The package, quote, delivers additional tax relief to middle-class families still recovering from record inflation under the Biden administration, according to Finance Committee Chair Mike Crapo of Idaho in a statement. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Officials leave Canada-U.S. meetings bullish on a future deal. U.S. and Canadian officials left an expanded bilateral meeting between the two governments on the sidelines of the G7 summit, optimistic about the prospects for a future deal. I'm sure we can work something out, President Donald Trump told reporters, noting that a deal could be, quote, achievable within weeks. Canadian Minister for Canada-U.S. Trade, Dominic LeBlanc, told reporters after the meeting he's confident both sides made progress. Negotiators are set to meet again later this week. Tariffs remain a sticking point in the ongoing discussion that, according to President Trump, we have different concepts. I have a tariff concept, Trump told reporters. Trump also held meetings with leaders from France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the European Union. Take note, several agricultural groups from G7 nations took the opportunity to appeal to officials to restore stability in global trade policymaking and adhere to international trade rules. We urge G7 governments to recognize that a strong, sustainable, and resilient agriculture sector is essential to economic stability, global cooperation, and long-term prosperity, the public statement reads. The National Farmers Union was the U.S. signatory. Groups warn officials about cutting State Department agricultural offices. A coalition of more than 20 ag groups warning senior administration officials not to cut two agricultural offices as a part of a State Department reorganization. The Economic and Business Affairs Bureau's Office of Agricultural Policy and the Bureau of International Organization Affairs Office of Economic and Development Affairs could face the axe under administration plans, the groups say. If the United States is to remain the global leader in agriculture, U.S. farmers, ranchers, producers, and industry need the support of these two offices to uplift these interests globally, the groups wrote in a letter to Secretaries Marco Rubio and Brooke Rollins and U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer. The groups argue that the units help ensure other countries do not undermine U.S. interests in international venues and improve the executive branch interagency process, but not everyone agrees. Former ambassador to the UN agencies for food and agriculture, Kip Thom, told AgriPulse he observed significant overlap in work undertaken by states' agriculture offices in USDA. The State Departments were very effective. They were very supportive of economic development in the agriculture sphere globally, Thom said, but added that often there were, quote, similar people at USDA. He said, I'm very supportive of the administration's wanting to downsize and remove redundancies. Well, here's today's final word. I hear their concerns, and I firmly believe that collaboration and coexistence is the best path forward. That Department of Fish and Wildlife Director Chuck Bonham responding to an op-ed in the Sacramento Bee from county supervisors that called for CDFW to take more aggressive measures to control the growing wolf population. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, June 17th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.